Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are saved by his amazing grace. Amen. He's done marvelous things throughout the years, and I just pray that this morning we can give him all the glory and the honor that he deserves.
Oh, wanna be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am.
Better than anything that you might have in mind. His way, you have to trust him. You have to make room for him to do those things in your life that he wants to do.
Hey, we're going to keep going with this. I want to give you another opportunity to come to the altar and just be prayed for. Let me read you this passage, James 5:13. Is any among you in trouble? Anybody? In trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. I'm going to give you another opportunity to do that again. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will also raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Amen?
Amen.
I want to give you an opportunity just to do that, to come up here. This is where we lay it down, right? I know as a person, I am often confronted with things and I always want to handle it on my own strength first. Why? Why when we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I want to give you an opportunity to lay these things down, whatever's going on in your life right now, and entrust it to Him, to let go of it. If you hang on to it, it will be in your strength. If you let go and you give it to God, then it's in His court. Would you consider doing that with the things that you're facing? Would you allow us the privilege to pray over you, pray for you in this time? I feel like God wants to do something. Sharon, I don't know if you're able to come up here. If you're sick, if you're dealing with, if you need to lay something down that you've been doing, that you know you shouldn't be doing, now's the time. We need to make room. We need to confess those things. We need to repent of those things. We need to empty ourselves of those things and make room for what He wants to do. Some of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you need to be filled full with the Holy Spirit. You need to surrender every area of your life. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we had our cross at one time, but then we lay it down and we pick up stuff that we shouldn't be dealing with and doing. Now's the time to lay that down and allow Him to work. Like, do you come to church ready for what God has? In a minute, Pastor Will is going to be preaching and sharing the word. Is there room in your heart to receive it? Now's the time to prepare that. We do that largely with praise and worship. We turn our attention to Him. So we're going to pray one more time, but I just want to give you one more opportunity to come to the altar and just lay whatever you need to down. Amen?
Thank you.
sing now. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Kind of want to give you a little introduction of for you guys that may not know our family too well. So we are a very interesting flow of people in our family. Me and Amanda, unfortunately, weren't able to have any children of our own, but God blessed us with some children in another way that was just as more incredible. So we have a 20-year-old Maddie, who I see is here today. I did not see her until now, so that's nice. And we have a 16-year-old. His name is Ethan. You guys will see some of them around here. And then our two little boys, Elijah and Caden, who are 3 and 7. God blessed us with all four of them. We were fortunate to be able to adopt Elijah and Caden last March. And so that's been an incredible thing that God has blessed us with. Even when we thought that God wasn't going to bless us with something, he did anyway. So we're very thankful to how you've welcomed us. It was a rough season where we were before we came here. And it was very nice to see the loving and caringness that you guys bring in this congregation. So I look forward to serving and just loving you guys. And just being part of your family. Because that's what we are, right? We're all one family. So today we're going to talk about the passion for the lost. So we're going to be looking at Acts 20, verses 22 through 28. And as you're looking that up, we're going to talk a little bit more. We must have a passion for the lost to come to know Jesus and his love for us all. You know, I was thinking about that as we were worshiping this morning. I'm like, how am I going to transition into this? But it transitioned perfect. That I think sometimes our religion, our traditions get in the way of preaching the gospel at times because we're so focused on what we are supposed to do in the church that we lose focus on what God has called us to do. So Acts 22, or 20, verses 22 through 28, if you would stand with me as we read God's word this morning. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit had made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So when we think about passion for the lost, are we like Paul? You guys can be seated. I'm sorry. I was just going to make you stand for my whole sermon this morning, so. Can you tell I'm a little bit nervous this morning? That's all right. So let's look at a little bit of the background on the text here. Paul was on his third missionary voyage. He visited churches in Macedonia, spent 3 months in Greece, and returned to Macedonia after discovering a plot against his life. So that means he was going into a hostile environment, right? Paul faced hostile environments all the time. And this is where he's in his third missionary tour. So you can imagine what Paul has already endured, right? So Paul knew he would face persecution and hardship, but he still chose to go because he had a passion to see lost lives saved. He knew the importance of sharing the gospel. It was the hope the world so desperately needed and still needs to this day. He had a passion for God and for his people to be freed. He wanted to see people freed from the bondage of their sin. So what is the purpose of sharing the gospel? Before we talk about the passion, why is it so important that we share the gospel? 1 John says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So God willingly gave up his Son for us to save us. Now, how many of us would be willing to sacrifice one of our children? Not very many of us. God sacrificed his only Son for us. It shows his love for us, right? Amen. And that's the purpose of why we share the gospel. Because God's love gives us hope when we feel hopeless. God's love changes our lives forever when we accept him into our hearts. So why would we not want to share that with people, right? I think sometimes it's not that we've lost the passion for the lost. We've lost our passion for God and what he has for us. And I think sometimes we lose that passion for him and it affects everything else. So I think sometimes we need to renew our passion in God and in what he has for us. So what is some of the benefits of being saved? You know, a lot of you probably know a lot of this. But Romans 5 said, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. We boast in the hope of the glory of God." Once we've surrendered, we're no longer bound in that sin that controlled our lives, right? We're no longer bound by that when we accept Christ into our hearts. We no longer have to worry about where we will spend eternity. I'm telling you what, that's one of the biggest things. The security of knowing where we're going to be one day. Because we've accepted Christ into our hearts. And one of the most important things that I believe for us as Christians is we become family. That we don't have to do this journey alone, right? We don't have to rely on just our own strength. We can rely on others around us to help pick us up when we don't have the strength. And those people are filled with God's Spirit that helps bring us up. And I'm telling you what, I love being part of this family. Because I'm telling you what, this world looks at everything we do and picks us apart. But what I love about God's family, he doesn't care where we've come from, where we are. We are covered by his grace and his love. Amen. Which is more than I think we could ever even ask for from God. We don't deserve that grace and that love. We don't. That's why it's so amazing that God was so willing to give us that grace. Because we will, like I said, we will never be good enough. We will never be good enough to make it into the kingdom of God without his love and his grace. So when we think about Paul, he certainly faced a lot of things. He faced prison. He was in prison multiple times. Faced a lot of adversity, even to the point where he was killed multiple times, eventually leading to him being beheaded. But in these verses, we read that he still had passion for the lost, had passion for those that were out there that didn't know Christ. He knew what he would have to face. Now think about that. Would you be willing to go in a place where somebody wants to stone you to death? That wants to chop your head off? I don't think you'd want to go in those areas, right? But Paul had to face those things. And thank the good Lord that we don't have to face that type of persecution, but we still face persecution. You know, one of my favorite verses, and I even have a tattoo of it on myself, is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, I cling on to that verse at times. And, you know, when I think about my life and my journey to ministry, I ran from it for a long, long time. And my family can attest to ministry being hard on a family. I grew up in a household where my dad was an evangelist, became a pastor, and I believe he's been preaching, I don't even know how long, probably a good 50 years, close to 50 years, I would assume. He's been preaching the word of God, and he has faced some trials. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's no way I want to do that, right? I don't want to step into the lion's den and deal with all the stuff that pastors have to face on a daily basis. So I ran from that call. You know, and God changed my heart over time. And I surrendered that to him. Now, what does this have to do with reaching the lost? I think sometimes we look at people and we think, well, I'm not as bad as they are, right? I haven't sinned as much as that person has. And we think, well, I don't know if I want to reach out to them. They have too much baggage that I have to deal with. And it's a shame that sometimes that gets in our way. You know, look at who the people that Jesus hung out with, who he spent his time with, tax collectors, prostitutes, the scum of the earth, right? The people that were the scum of the earth at the time. He spent time with them because he knew that they were just as important as the Pharisees, as the teachers of the law. He knew every one of us were important. And I think sometimes we forget about having a relationship with other people before we introduce the gospel to them. I think sometimes people get turned off because we begin to preach at them. We begin to tell them, this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're not supposed to do. We forget to love on them where they're at. We all have struggles, and I would imagine if we all walked in with our struggle on our shoulder, we would look at each other a lot differently. Because each and every one of us struggle with something in our lives. Whether we want to admit it or not, we struggle with something. So for us to say that we're better than someone, we're not any better. We need God's grace just as much as they need God's grace. I've seen so many broken people come back to the Lord because of someone who loved and cared for them and showed them what God's love was. Showing people God's love, we can tell people all day what God's love is about, but if we don't actually show it, are they going to believe it? It all comes down to, are we showing God's love to people? No matter what their circumstance is, no matter what our circumstance is. You know, in our family, we've seen a lot of addicts struggle through addiction. Our older two lost their mom to addiction. And, you know, sometimes I think about the opportunities that we may have missed to reach her. And sometimes that breaks my heart because there's so many opportunities that we had. But we missed out on those opportunities because we were scared. And, you know, I can't sit up here and beat myself up for that because, you know what? You know, we all have had opportunities to minister to people and didn't do it. I'm guilty of it all the time. Walk around doing my life, don't think about anything but trying to get things done for the day, that I miss an opportunity to reach out to someone. My wife thinks I'm crazy sometimes because I'll sometimes will pick up people off the side of the road, which I would not suggest doing because it is kind of scary. But there was a gentleman, I was heading into Cardington to do some things with the last job I had, and this gentleman was just walking down the street in the middle of rural Morrill County. And God's like, you need to turn around and pick that kid up. I'm like, are you kidding me? I got to work today, right? I'm in the middle of going to work today. But God knew that he needed something. So this kid, I'm not sure how old he was, probably early 20s, had just got kicked out of his girlfriend's home. Didn't have anywhere to go. So he was walking from Cardington to Zanesville, which probably would have taken him days to get there. And as he was talking to me, my God, I see what you're doing now. This kid was desperate for help. So I was going to a food pantry that I had some volunteers that worked there. And so I had him come along with me while his ride was coming. We got a hold of someone to get his ride. And this kid began to help in the food pantry. I'm like, oh my goodness, this kid, you know, I find him on the side of the road. Now he's here helping these volunteers feed people. The people that were like him that needed something. And he was willing to step in. That made me think, wow, even someone who doesn't know Christ even knows to love on people. That's such a natural thing for us, is to love people. But we get so distracted with what is in our lives. That day really impacted my heart because it made me think about some things that I should have stopped the first time, not drove up and then pulled or turned around and came back. I should have got him when God laid it on my heart the first time. You know, we think about Jonah, what he had to go through because he decided not to do what God wanted him to do. And God still used him. I want to encourage you guys today that each and every one of us can reach people. It's not a difficult thing to do. I think sometimes we overcomplicate it thinking that we have to shove this down their throats, teach them what's right and wrong before we can actually love on them. When Jesus loved on them first and then helped change their hearts. Sometimes that's a long journey and we get impatient. Like, God, we need this person saved now. We want them in heaven now, right? But God's timing is not like our timing. You know, and I've heard so many people, I want to get as many people into heaven. I want to save as many people as I can. And I remind them, it's not you who saves them anyway. You know the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? That's the same way with ministering to the lost. You can lead them to Christ, but you can't make them accept Christ. But don't use that as a discouragement. Use that as an encouragement to keep pouring love into that person. Keep pouring the love of Christ into that person. I think one of the biggest things that we can do to minister to people is to tell them our story of how God changed our hearts. Because a lot of people who are Christians will be like, I'm a Christian. I do everything I'm supposed to do. But then we don't tell the story of how Christ saved us, how he pulled us out of that pit that we were in. our testimony can be the most powerful thing for someone else. You know, I think about our testimony of the struggles of what we had to go through the past couple years. It's been a huge struggle for our family and has almost torn our family apart. But you know what's so amazing? That even though the enemy was attacking us, God was fighting for us and lifting us up, bringing people in our lives. You know, James came at the right time for me. We were struggling, didn't know where we wanted to go. We knew God was leading us away from Galleon, but we had no clue where God wanted us. And then God brought this opportunity to come minister and be a part of this family. And again, we're so thankful for the love and compassion that you've shown us. You know, we have a crazy family. We have some crazy kids that will probably run around this church. And it kind of reminds me of when I was little. I used to run around the church. I probably wasn't as loud as my kids, but they love being in God's house. And you know, sometimes when I see parents trying to tell their kid to be quiet and, the pastor's preaching, you got to be quiet. I'd rather hear them, because that means our church is still alive. When we hear babies crying, that means our church is still alive. When we hear kids running around being crazy, we know our church is still alive. And that's a testament to what you have done. What God has done in you through this church. And as you can see, there's still some empty seats in this place, right? So we got plenty of room for more people to come in this door, these doors. And I'm excited to see what God's going to use our church to do. You know, it's not about the leadership of the church. It's not about the board. It's not about the sound. It's not about any of that. It's about us reaching the lost for Him. And I'm telling you what, if we minister to somebody and they choose to go to a different church, praise God, because they're still being fed. We're not here to fill up Willard Naz. We're here to fill up heaven. You hear that? We are here to fill up heaven, to help fill up heaven. Not to just sit here and keep the pew warm, keep the seat warm. Come here, do our duty, and then go off again. This is just the building. The church is what's out there. Our mission is what's outside those doors, not what's inside these doors. You know, when I think about, you know, break all down all our traditions, break down the walls of all of our religion. It's so true that we get so caught up in those things sometimes. We see churches divided over those silly little things that really God doesn't care much about. He cares about our hearts and where we're at. There's a time for doctrine, time for all those things. We can talk about those later. But reaching those who do not know Christ is the most important job we have as Christians. Not to worship God and get what we want from God, but what is in us overflows to those around us. Again, I am so excited to see what God has in store for us here. You know, I feel like I've kind of had a renewed passion for what God wants me to do in my life because He's brought me here. At Galleon, I felt like I was never going to amount to anything. I love the people there. There's amazing people there that I will love and cherish for the rest of my life. But there were a lot of things that happened that really hurt some people. And, you know, God brought us out of that. And I'm so thankful that He has. It shows that when we are patient and we do what God's will is in our lives, He will pull us out of those situations. God will never put us in a situation that we can't overcome, right? That's why we're preaching to the lost. When we face opposition, Christ is right there beside us to push us a little bit further. You know, we see in the news how the Christian faith gets such a bad rep sometimes because we have some terrible people that do terrible things. But that does not represent what God wants us to do, right? We need to change that view that the world has on us, that we are passionate about what God has for us, and that our love for God will overflow to them. So again, our goal as believers and followers is to lead everyone to Christ. Again, it's not us that leads them there. We may lead them there, but it's not us who saves them. God saves them. It's their choice to follow. You just lead them there. Love on them and help them make it there. So I would like for you guys to think about some of those people in your life that you know don't know Christ. What is it that you can do to minister to them, to love on them, to show them God's love? What is it that you can do? Each and every one of us have a talent that God has gifted us with to love on people. How are you going to use that? So this morning, again, think about that one person that you know needs Christ. And I'm going to encourage you guys to pray for that person this morning. I encourage you to come up to the altar, pray about that as well. You can pray about that in your seat as well. But I want you to put it on your heart who God has in your life that you need to minister to, by either loving them or just being there for them. So I'll give you that opportunity right now as we pray. Lord, again, we're so thankful for your love and your grace for us. It makes the life of following you so much better that we know that you have our back, you have us with us. And that we have an eternity to look forward to because your son died on the cross for us. Lord, I ask that you would just put it on our hearts, that one person that we know doesn't know you, Lord, that we would be that light, be that person that could step in and show them your love. May we not be judgmental. May we not turn our nose up to people that we believe might not be as good as us. But may we lay that down and love on them just like Christ loved on all those people back in the day. And he continues to love on us. Lord, give us that passion once more. That passion for the lost, that we will run that race. That we will be out there looking for those people that are desperate for hope. Desperate for that love that only they can get from you. Lord, may we be willing to share that with others. May we be willing to share our story of what you've done in our lives. May you help us be an impact to this community. May we see revival in this city. May we see your movement like we've never seen before. And Lord, we know that we can see that if we're faithful to you and your call in our lives to minister to those who do not know you. Lord, I ask that you would give us the heart, the words to say to people. Lord, teach us just to love one another like you've called us to do. Love is the most important thing we can have. Because if we love, we will not hurt each other. We will not sin against each other if we truly love each other like Christ loves us. So may we love perfectly, or learn to love perfectly like you do. May we love without judgment. May we love without anything that could hinder us from reaching to people. Lord, cleanse our hearts of those things that are keeping us from reaching people. May we surrender those things to you today as well. And may we step out of the way so you can do your work. Lord, sometimes I think we get in the way of your work. And too often we prevent you from doing what you're wanting to do. Lord, may we step out of the way and let you do your work. Again, your way is better than our way. Lord, be in our hearts, encourage us to be the church outside these doors, that we can show people your love without even saying a word, that we just are so filled with your love that it pours out to everyone else. Again, Lord, we ask that you be that person that you've called us to reach out to. May you begin to soften their hearts as we speak, to be receptive to what you have for them. May we show them love. May we show them compassion. Again, Lord, we're so thankful that we have a God that loves us so much, that sacrificed so many things for us. Again, we're so thankful for that. Lord, be with us as we leave this place today. Again, may we be that light to this dark world that desperately needs your hope. We love you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.